Welcome to the Wake Up Podcast. I am so excited that you're here. Listen, these podcasts are best listened to in the morning because we are waking up not only our bodies from sleeping, but we're waking up our minds, we're waking up our focus, we're waking up our calling, and we are following the breadcrumbs that God has left for us throughout the day over our life to tell us exactly what to do next. So stop saying that you don't know what to do. Stop feeling overwhelmed. Stop living in the valley and start walking into your calling. So I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show.
It has been a minute. I haven't talked to you guys since June 1st, all summer long. I've missed you. I cannot tell you enough how badly I've been wanting to record episodes, but God is just telling me to wait. You know, he's like, slow down, stop hustling, stop planning, stop scheming, stop strategizing, just be still, remember what I told you and trust in me. You know, that's what he's telling everybody. And so all summer long, I decided that I was going to be completely present with my family. I knew that God wanted me to stop podcasting for the summer because I heard him say that a couple of times, but the controlling in me, you know, I'm like, I already have a plan, God. I already know what I'm going to talk about. I can't just stop doing it. And so I knew it was God because all of a sudden I just stopped. I recorded an episode back in April called Capable. And then I did two interviews with some women who are Christians and they're running towards the plan that God has for them. And that was episode 13 and 14. And then I just kind of stopped. And I realized this is God. He wants me to stop. And I didn't plan to do my last episode on June 1st. However, I did. And looking back now at the timing of everything, I can really see God's hand in it all. But I wanted to come back on here because God's telling me it's time. He's saying it's time. Let's go. Not quick. Not fast, no hustle. Let's move. There's a few things that God has been speaking to me over the summer, and I wanted this episode to just kind of catch you up on my life. There are so many things happening. Tomorrow is one of the most amazing days of my life that I'm looking forward to. It's the day that my book, The Valley, will be available for sale as an e-reader. Through Kindle. And so that launches tomorrow on September 12th. And then my book will be available for pre-sale this week as well, the paperback and the hardcover. And that's going to officially ship out on October 6th. So it'll go for pre-order for about a month. And I've had a lot of people ask how they can help me. So I want to give this because, you know, I think everyone can help in some way. And I want everyone to kind of find their own way to help with this. If you feel like I want to be a part of this, I want to learn from this. Because I've also had a lot of people ask me, how did I write a book? And I'm going to do a whole podcast. I've been taking notes on, if that's you, if you're someone who's thought that at all, I want to encourage you to do it because it is not as hard as you think that it is at all. It's just a bunch of limiting beliefs that you've placed in your mind about authors and what it would take to write a book and imposter syndrome and all of the things. But I'm also going to, can you tell? I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I feel like there's so many things. I'm like, hold on, wait, I have another thing. I want to talk to you about all of the things. I have just been learning so much all summer and it's been amazing. Okay. And now that things have picked up and I have all four of my kids in school, which last year, if you remember, I was homeschooling my boys and my youngest was not in school yet. And so now they're all in school all day. And at first, I was planning on working all through the summer. And when God spoke to me and said, slow down, trust in me, slow down, be present. I also saw this quote on Instagram that said, by the time your kids are 9, you've already spent 75% of the time that you will spend with them in their lives. like mind blow by the age of nine years old. And I'm like, that's not true. Well, when we got busier and busier and my son started soccer in August and it started going and going and going, felt like we were just on this, like the Gravitron at the carnival, you know, the one that you're like stuck to the wall and it's the spinning UFO. That's how I feel all the time. Like I'm just stuck to this wall and I'm trying to breathe and do things. And so God has really been speaking to my spirit since things have been getting busier into this fall season. And I always pray that he connects me with his perfect people, people who I need to hear what they have to say. And there's a lot of times that people are talking and then they say one line and it just stands out. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's what I've been thinking. Or that makes so much sense related back to this topic. And so I've been talking to all of the moms and we're getting ready to start our moms brunches back up. If you're local, we do that the second Wednesday of every month at the Rock Church. You can always private message me to find the link and to join if you're local in the Michigan area. But all the moms are saying how busy they are. You know, like they're just so busy. And how are we supposed to do all of the things? How do we keep up? How not only do we keep up, but how do we stay ahead of it without like totally controlling the situation and manipulating it and, you know, being ahead of God, like God, this way, this is the path we're going to take. This is where we're going to go. You know, we're all guilty of that. So I have a podcast episode coming up soon on that, on busyness. And that's what our topic's going to be on for the brunch in September as well. But I've been doing some busy devotionals on the Bible app for free, which are amazing. If you don't have the Bible app, download it for free. You can look at all their devotions and it's really cool. Some of them are only 3 days, some are 5 days, some are 7 days. You can do them with other people and you can search literally anything on there and it'll show you devotions that you can download. It takes 5 minutes a day to do the devotion, or you can expand it and, you know, like look up the scripture and read the chapter before and after, and you could turn it into 30 minutes or an hour even. But I love it. You also get notifications on your phone. Like, don't forget to do your thing today. You can put notes and talk back and forth if you're in a group with people. So I love to do this with, right now I'm doing it with my co-director of our mom's group. And it's really great. I sometimes do it with my home groups or, you know, close friend groups, families I've done before with like my sister and my mom. So yeah. I don't know. I felt like I should just say that and kind of plug in that app because it's been really great. It's an easy way to just dive in. Okay. So we have busyness coming up and I'm going to talk all about that in a very extensive episode, but some other things that God has been telling me to do over the last few months is slow down, which we talked about. Finish what I started in you is what I heard him say one day. And I'm like, are you sure? Is this the time? Is the time now? Are you sure, God? Is that what you're saying? It's like Noah, who was building and building and building and building the ark for so many years. And then finally he's like, get in the ark. It's time, you know? And then he got in the ark and then he's like, okay. And a lot of us think that because we've seen Evan Almighty, which is a great movie, by the way, it's super funny. But if you've seen Evan Almighty, like the storm is coming and they run in the ark at the last second and it closes. And that's actually not what happened. It waited lots of days before it actually started to rain. So imagine you're building a huge boat so long ago and you're like, God told me to do it. And it's what all anybody's talking about. And this thing is massive. Like, have you ever seen that? And look at pictures of it online. It's like multiple football fields. It's huge. And you're told to build this and everyone thinks you're crazy and you build it for like 100 years. And then God's like, get in the ark. It's time. And you get in there and you have to wait 7 days or more. Like, okay, God, I know you said, get in. Like, am I crazy? I really try to put myself in these characters' mindsets because I was reading. Okay. I'm going to scroll like really bad on this episode, but just stay with me. I don't care. I need to like let it all out and tell you things that are to come. So I was reading my Bible to my daughter last night as she was falling asleep, kids Bible. If you go to TerrenceSarconi.com at the bottom, I have an Amazon page of all of my favorite devotions and Bibles and things that I use that I recommend to people. And it's on there, the kids one. It's great. And I swear I get more out of it than my kids do. And so I'm reading it and I'm reading the story about Jonah, which I've recorded a podcast about Jonah before. So I've really studied Jonah in depth, right? Like I went word for word, highlighting, circling, like my whole book of Jonah in my Bible is highlighted and underlined and circled and arrows and like everything is in it. Okay. So what I love about the Bible is that it's alive. So every single time you read it, you have a different take on it. So if you hear a scripture, you're like, yeah, I already know the story of Jesus. Yes. They went to Bethlehem. They had a baby in a barn. Like, you know, but every time you read that story in scripture, you'll relate it. The spirit in you will relate it to another area of your life. And it'll be the answer that you're seeking for. So I've been trying to start my days out in the summer with praying first and then going into my devotion time where I have different scriptures. I have different books. You just go on Amazon and type in best-selling women's devotional and see which one catches your eye. Or if you want one on mental illness or one for mothers or one for an angry mom or for marriages, just type that in the search and there will be ones that come up and pray first and then purchase one and then start doing that every day. So I like to just pray, which literally is just, sometimes I have to write a list and I pray each thing down. But most of the time I just find myself, I'll plan, like I'm going to go in my room and I'm going to lay on my floor. I like to just put a blanket down and just lay on the floor. I turn my phone on silent and I set an alarm on my phone for the time I want to be done. And when I first started doing this, it was 10, 15 minutes and it was hard for me to pray that long. And then I slowly moved it up to like 30 minutes. My pastor one time challenged us to do it for an hour. And I remember just sitting there thinking like, I can't talk to God for an hour. What am I going to talk about? But now I can sit there for longer than an hour with an alarm and it feels like the time just flies by. So what's important about praying before you start your day is you're praying for God to, you're basically like, open my eyes by you praying. You're basically saying like, open my eyes, help me be intentional on my day. This is your day. Help me just follow and listen to you. And you can start praying for more and more things. If you have trouble finding what to pray, TerrenceSarconi.com, there's a link you can download my prayer list too that I use. All these things are free, by the way. And so you can use that and start praying, but we have to be praying at the beginning. So then when we do our devotions, we feel God's answer through the word, through the devotions. And then sometimes I sit there, I said devotions, so weird, devotions. I feel like you can also just sit there in silence, like pray and then stop and listen. That's meditating, just quieting your soul. God, speak to me. I'm here. Lord, I'm here. I'm listening. And just sit there. And I like to do that with a pen and paper. And anything that comes into my mind, I hurry up and scribble down. I actually have three things in front of me right now on this piece of paper that I grabbed real quick, like an old, what even is this? Oh, it's an old schedule from a marriage group. So I folded it in half, wrote on it and said, these are three things that God told me to record podcast titles. The first one is, I don't feel like it. That's going to be a good one. And it's going to be about taking action and then getting the feeling. Not having the feeling and taking that makes you take action. It's you take action and the feeling comes, right? Like you're respectful to your husband, even though you don't feel like it. And in return, he shows you love, which you feel loved, but it was the action you took first. The second one, he said, talking with the devil. There was a period in the summer for a couple of weeks that I was conversating with the devil. Don't think this is weird. Like I wasn't, you know, sitting in a dark room and he was like glowing red with horns and a pitchfork and I was having coffee with him. I kept having these like nasty thoughts. Just this, like, you can't do this. This isn't going to work. Who do you think you are? he tried to dangle money in front of my face a couple times to get me distracted. Like, oh, look over here. You could do this. They would pay you $100,000 a year. You would, you know, have all this security. They're going to give you 20 grand to do this. Like, I kept jumping and thinking, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to do that and make money, because I used to be the primary breadwinner of my home, and God switched it, which was amazing. And I left the industry where I was hustling and plotting, planning and scheming. And I really slowed down. And over that, God taught me my book and, you know, was revealing that to me. And I'm so grateful for that. My husband was making the money, but I want to be able to contribute financially. And so inside, I'm always thinking, oh, come on, like, what is going on? And that's what we all think. You know, we have this dream. I talk to you all and you say, like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to encourage these women. I want to speak to this group. I want to write a book. I want to do a blog. I want, you know, we have these ideas of how we want to get the word out there and what the word kind of is. And as we walk down the path, it gets shaped and molded, but we're like, how are we going to provide for our family with this? How are we going to receive financial, you know? And it's not because it's like, oh, I want to be rich and I need money, but we need money to survive. So wanting money is not a bad thing. It's not at all. But a lot of us have this wiring of our brain of, I don't know. And so that's another thing that God's been teaching me, is to rely on me for financial security and be obedient to what I've told you to do. Like, for a while, I wasn't tithing. And God was saying, tithe, tithe, tithe. My church wasn't saying tithe, tithe, tithe. Nobody said anything to me about tithing. But I kept hearing that from God. Like, you didn't tithe again. You didn't tithe again. You didn't tithe again. I'm blessing you with this money. All I'm asking is for you to take 10% of it. I'm going to give you 90%. You're going to give 10% back to my kingdom, back to further the ministry. And this is something he says in the Bible, and he calls it a tithe in the Bible. And they're saying to give this 10%. And God says, you can test me with this. It is the only place in the Bible that he says, test me, put me to the test. You give 10% and you watch it come back to you even more fruitful. And so I'm here, I'm praying, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me write my book, help me give this, and, you know, help me provide for my family and help my husband provide and bring this to us. And God's like, okay, I mean, I have been, and you've just been keeping it all. So at what point do I get to further my kingdom? And it's not like, oh, we're paying every single penny with bills. No, trust me, there is money that's being blown in other places. So God's just been telling me, like, you need to take better care of your finances before I bless you with more money. You need to be obedient with what I've told you to do with your money and not love money, which is where I used to be, where, you know, that was what I felt would make me successful and happy and abundant and joyful and worthy. And I felt like if I just made this amount of money, I would feel so different. And the last thing that God was telling me is feelings versus realities. And we sit in our feelings, and our feelings aren't real. It's the lens that you're looking through that's distorting how you see things. And I have a whole chapter on this in my book, and it's a very real thing that we all do. And depending on your past and your trauma and your brokenness and anything that's happened to you, your lens will be even thicker. You know, it's like even harder to see because you are so set in your ways, your mechanisms, and the way that you've developed is a protective mechanism because you have told yourself, I was abandoned. Don't ever put yourself out there again so nobody can ever abandon us. We got this. I'm on my own. I can take care of this. I don't need you. You know, we develop that. So feelings versus realities, and I'm going to be really vulnerable here and I'm going to share something. Oh, I knew God would make me share it yesterday when it happened, and I didn't want to. But I'm going to, and it's on the idea of feelings versus reality. So yesterday was my birthday. I turned 34 years old, and I spent the weekend at a soccer tournament for my daughter in Northern Michigan. And my birthday was going to be on Sunday of the trip. So we went up Friday, we had games on Saturday, we had games on Sunday, and we came home. And I felt, well, first of all, I need to start with this, that I knew that I was PMSing. Okay. So the time coming up to the weekend, like maybe like all last week, I was starting to feel like really irritated with my kids more easily, wanting to be alone, like snippy with my husband for no reason, or just quiet, like not in a good mood with him, not really talking a whole lot. And we just kind of felt distant. And I know that I get that way during that time of my cycle. So I track it so that when I start to feel like that, I remember it's okay. It's just the way you're perceiving things. It's not him. It's not your kids. It's you, right? Like if, like I've shared that analogy before, the waitress is walking with a cup of coffee and she gets hit by someone and she spills the coffee. And it's like, well, why did she spill the coffee? Well, because there was coffee in her cup. So if it was water, she would have spilled water. And so the analogy is whatever is inside of you, if you're, you know, nudged or bumped or whatever, is going to spill out. So if you have this anger and you're emotional and you're anxious and you're depressed and you have all this in you, when you're bumped, it's going to trigger you and it's going to, you know, make things worse. So I have been feeling this way and I learned this. So before, this situation would have been a lot different. It would have been handled in a completely different way than it was this weekend. And this is why it's so important for me to share this, because, and why I want to share this is because I think this is going to be really relatable. I think that there are going to be women that are like, thank God someone else said it, because I am so sick of feeling like I'm crazy all the time. And so I've just been kind of like irritated, and I knew that there was going to be an issue this weekend. I just knew it. I kept praying like, God, like change, help our weekend, help me to be kind and calm and have the fruit of the spirit. And, you know, I did all the things, I prayed all the stuff, and I was like, this is going to be so great to be present with my kids and to be, you know, doing this. And, it wasn't, there were a lot of times that it was great. We enjoyed breakfast together one day, and that was a great breakfast. Everything about it, I really enjoyed seeing my daughter. They got second place in the tournament, so that was so joyful. Meeting other parents, spending time with them, that was wonderful. Just having time with my kids, because they started school a couple weeks ago. So it was nice to just, you know, be together. But everything is really expensive, and that was stressful. And it was also stressful with my husband, and it created a stressful energy between the two of us. It was also hard because I was really emotional and just super sensitive. So anything anyone says, I like want to cry and feel like my feelings are hurt. Again, feelings versus reality. And I ended up waking up on my birthday. I was already kind of dreading the day. My boys the night before, well, I only had one son with me and his friend. But the night before, so Saturday night, security was called at the hotel. I'm only sharing this because I know someone out there is like, thank you. I'm so glad that her kids are normal and I'm not totally screwing up. So security, my son calls, he's like, you need to come down here. Security wants you to be here. I was like, no way. What did you do? He's like, I'll tell you when you get down here. So I hung up the phone and I told John to go, because I was like, I am not going down there. You need to go. You're way scarier than me. So you need to go. So he went down there, got him, came back. It ended up being like, it really wasn't a big deal of what happened. And it actually was an answer to prayer, because I was praying that God would protect them as they were, you know, doing things around the resort, and that they would be busted if they did anything. And so they were allowed to stay out for another hour, but because they got in trouble, they had to come back to their room. So I was like, this is so great. I'm so glad that they were sent back to their room, because now they're here with us. So I had that, and I woke up Sunday morning just feeling like, oh, you know, today's the day. Here's my birthday. You know, a lot of times we feel that too. I've heard a lot of moms talk, and I usually talk about this during Mother's Day season, but we have this big like anticipation, this expectation of like, everyone's going to love me. They're going to adore me. They're going to make me feel so special, so loved. I do so much for everyone, and they're all just going to, you know, just shower me in gifts and praise and appreciation. And we see other people, which is the worst, you know, on social media. It's like they threw them a surprise birthday party. They got this car for their birthday. They are in Hawaii for their birthday, or, you know, Mother's Day. And they had this huge Mother's Day brunch, and all their kids were together, and they all gave her gifts and wrote nice poems and tagged them on Facebook. And you know, we like see these other things, so we compare it to us. So you just build up this expectation, like this is it. It's my birthday. All right. It's going to be a good day. But I also was like, here we go. You know, like I got to get up. We got to go to soccer. We got to deal with checkout and talking to the kids about what happened last night. And my husband and I were like, just kind of like on eggshells with each other. I ended up crying like six times by maybe 1 o'clock, like holding back tears most of the time. Like things just set me off, hurt my feelings. And as my feelings were hurt, I was looking out the window. I didn't want my husband to see me crying, but like also low key, I wanted him to know I was crying. So I like had my face out the, like turned out the window. It was only him and I in the car together. We were driving from place to place and the kids were staying. And you know, I was looking out the window and I like, you know, doing like this sniffle, like I'm crying. Can't you see over here? But he didn't act like he noticed at all, because he's hard-headed and has pride just like me. And so I'm sitting there looking out the window, like, and my brain is just like stirring and stirring and stirring. Like, you do so much for this family and no one even cares. You feel so unappreciated. And you know, I'm hearing like all of these words and I'm like, yeah, like this is ridiculous. You know, and my very first reaction to anything that's happening to me is to flee. Like, I'm just out of here. You know, I'm not doing this. I'm out of here. And that I learned over the years is a defense mechanism because of my abandonment. And so I'm like, you know, just try to protect myself. Like, nope, don't care. Don't need you. Here's my walls. I'm fine. So this is like my initial, like, this is what I'm going to do. So even in my head, I'm like, you know what? I don't need this. Like my best friend, she's divorced. Like, this is how you know it's so crazy when you're thinking, I'm like, it's so nice. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have anyone trying to control her. She doesn't have anyone making her feel unappreciated. And then, like, as I'm saying all this stuff, I just hear God say, be quiet. Like literally, I was like, what? He's like, just be quiet. Like, be quiet. Just stop. And so many times I wanted to lash out, like my flesh wanted to say something hurtful back to my husband because I felt hurt. And I was thinking about negative things or bad things or just like little, like, you know, comments. Like my son was like, what are we doing for lunch? And I wanted to be like, I don't know, ask your dad since he's the one that has to pick all the time, you know, like things like that. But I'm like, nope, be quiet, shut your mouth. And all I kept telling myself is, Taryn, this is just the perspective lens you're looking through. These are just feelings. These are not realities. And my best friend FaceTimed me and I didn't want to answer it, but I wasn't crying at this point. And I was in the car with everyone and I answer the phone and her daughter is singing happy birthday to me. And I'm really trying to like fake it. Okay. I have this like big smile on my face. My face looked like puffy from crying six times. And I'm, you know, talking to her. And then she's like, she literally looks at me and she's like, why do you look like you're sad on your birthday? And I just like started crying again. And I was like, I don't know. It's a story. I'll tell you later. And she's like, okay. I'm like, bye. And just like hung up. And then I was texting her. And I'm like, honestly, I'm PMSing. So I've been super sensitive, super emotional. John and I have been like nitpicking each other and just not jiving like we normally do. Like 90% of the time, him and I are amazing and we have a terrific marriage. But you know, that 10% or that 5%, it's like, that's all you know, I used to focus on. But so when I'm texting her, I'm like, it's just a thing. Like, John's a great guy. There's nothing wrong. I'm just over emotional, oversensitive. And I learned a lot through that whole process. And I ended up, the emotion passed, the feeling did pass. And there was something that I did that I know really helped from the feeling to pass, the emotion to pass, which I have a chapter on this in my book too, the emotional scale and transition periods and what to do. So I was quiet. That was the first thing, like just be quiet, stop talking, stop making comebacks, stop like anything, just stop talking. And the other thing I did was I took a nap. I slept in the car on the way home, and that gave my husband time and me time and my kids time to all kind of reset and transition. And when I woke up, I felt so much better. That's when I started realizing like, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid. Like I was so emotional and dumb this morning. Like I created this whole thing out of nothing. And during the time I swore it was my husband's fault, but now I can see that it wasn't. And I ended up having a great rest of my night. I came home and my whole house was decorated. My mom and my best friend decorated my house for me and bought me flowers and balloons. And I felt so appreciated. My husband went and got us dinner and cleaned up the house. And it ended up being great. It ended up being such a good time. And the reason why the devil has been attacking my relationship lately is because I've been doing a lot for the kingdom when it comes to relationships. Right now, my husband and I are leading a relationships Bible study at our church, and we just got done teaching a class on kingdom marriages by Tony Evans. And we are showing up in the community and we are speaking the truth and we are trying to restore marriages and bring them back and shed light on our dark moments and how we learned. And I'm like remembering all the sentences I haven't finished in the beginning of the podcast, like about Jonah. It's like all coming back to me. But so the devil's attacking that area because he's like, okay, and enough. Like you guys gotta stop doing what you're doing. Like we're in a battle. You can't keep doing this. So I know we've been attacked that because I've learned how to regulate my emotions and see clearly and heal from trauma and get out of the valley. Now that before that would have led to like a 2-week fight where we literally weren't speaking at all. And it was just misery in our home for 2 weeks. Now it lasts a day, a half a day, and it's over and we're back together because the problem wasn't my husband. The issue isn't between me and him. The issue is between the devil and us. So when you're looking at your spouse thinking you're the problem, that's actually not the problem. The problem is the unseen battle that's happening above us all the time and here on earth that we don't even see. That's this constant tug of war battle for our souls. Like that's what's important. And that's what we need to remember and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And all the marriage classes I've done at church has helped me to do that. And when I'm fighting with my husband, like we were yesterday, God just kept saying like, look at me over here. Look at me, look at my face over here. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I also have some scriptures that I've written on my fridge that I always have there to remember. The one is consider it all joy when you meet trials of any kinds, for trials produce, patience and maturity through faith. And so that's amazing to think of, you know. And then the other thing that my daughter wrote a quote down and put it on our fridge, and it hit me last night when I was kind of having these revelations. And it says, if everything was perfect, you would never learn and you would never grow. And I consider myself to be in the valley yesterday. And for the last few days, because the valley for me is very hormonal. That's what dips me back in there for a minute, but I know how to get back out right away. So before I used to just like live down in this muck, but now I can bounce out. And this is like my whole want for you in releasing the valley is that the valley is not a bad place. Yes, it's disguised as a bad place. Yes, the devil is using the valley to injure you, to keep you small, to hold you down, to you're in bondage, you're in shackles, you're in slavery. That is what the devil is doing. And the scripture says you are no longer a slave to sin. You are a child of God. You do not have any chains or bounds to anything because you have Jesus Christ as your savior. So why are we living stuck in this valley thinking it's a bad thing instead of realizing the scriptures and seeing, consider it all joy when you meet trials of any kind or various kinds, some versions of the scripture say, various kinds, consider it all joy when you are in trials. Yesterday was a trial for me. It was a trial in my marriage. It was a trial in my relationship with my children. It was a trial in myself. It was a trial. It was something that I was walking through that I didn't like, that I was like, this sucks. I don't like this. It was a feeling, whether it's feeling reality, whatever is happening to you that you're like, this sucks. I wish that I didn't have to do this. I wish I didn't have to walk through this. I wish I could change this. It's a valley and it's a trial. And I'm not being insensitive because some of you are going through the trenches. You are in the pits. You are fighting for your life. You're fighting for your child's life. You're fighting for your marriage. You're fighting for so much. But all of these characters that found themselves in the valley, it was right then that God used what they had went through to change the world in a huge way. So like Noah, and I was reading this in the Bible last night, it says that, Jonah. It said last night that Jonah, you know, didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a very evil, nasty, crime-filled city. They worshiped a fake god and this like fish god. And God spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh and tell them, repent, turn from your ways. The Lord is coming. And he didn't want to do it. He was like, no, I do not want to do that. I'm scared. I don't know what they're going to say. And so God kept pursuing him. So he thought that he could get on this boat and head in the opposite direction of Nineveh. So he's on the boat. The storm comes. And so this part in the Bible that I read says, Jonah told the members on the boat, the sailors said, this storm is because my God is mad at me. If you throw me overboard, the storm will stop. So a couple of things just in that message alone that hit me last night because of what I'm going through, you know, first of all, he believes in his God, right? This isn't like a, I think God's real. I think he's not. If you're going to speak up and use your voice and say, oh, this is my fault. My God is mad at me. Like you have a lot of belief in your God. So it wasn't a belief problem. Also by him speaking up, it shows that he cared about people. He didn't have to speak up. He could have let every single person on that boat drown. But he spoke up. He felt convicted. He felt guilty. He loved the people. So it's not that he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't love people. That wasn't it. And the fact that he says, throw me overboard, he is ready to die. He is suicidal. Throw me over. I want to die. Like nobody's going to be thrown over and you're not going to die. In a storm and everything that's happening, toss me overboard. If you ask me, Jonah was in the valley. He was in the valley, running from God, being anxious, worried. I think he was fearful. He didn't have enough courage and know his identity through Christ enough that, or through God, that he was scared. Like, God, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. And God's saying, you don't have to. Trust me. Take the action, the feeling will come. Go to the people and open your mouth and speak, and you will feel successful. You will feel accomplished. The feeling of bold courageousness that all comes from first following the action. So Jonah was in the valley. And right after he was in the valley, when he's like, okay, enough is enough. You know, thank God that God scooped him up with a fish and had him sit there for a few days. And I talked about this in the recording that I did on Jonah, that some people think that because he was in a fish for 3 days and he came out, he looked all like seaweedy and soggy and dirty and algae. And fishermen saw him and pulled him up, and they thought that he was the God that they worshiped. So that's why they listened to him. So some people have said that. It's really cool. But I'm reading that story and I'm thinking, Jonah was in the valley. And then right after, Jonah turned his life. He saved all of those people in Nineveh. It says that when he went there, he was so bold. He spoke. I mean, it's incredible. If you want to learn more about Jonah, then go and read, go do the whole entire episode. It was actually, maybe I should change it, but it is episode, or I should change the title so people know, but it was episode 9 in season 2 called Obey. Real good. But I'm just thinking, like, a lot of people go in the valley. You know, Moses, like, hello, he started in the valley. He was immediately rejected and go into a basket in the river. Like, goodbye, all the boys have to die. You can't have any baby boys. And so he was just in there. And then God's like, okay, I'm going to use this for his good. I'm going to use this bad thing, and I'm going to get him into the Pharaoh's palace. And all of the things that he used, I mean, Joseph was taken and put into slavery. Imagine if your family literally physically grabbed you, pulled you down into a pit, threw you in the pit, took your clothes off, threw you in a pit, and then someone walked by and they sold you into slavery. Like, literally, you go from the favorite son into you are a slave, and you are shackled and you are walked all the way down to Egypt as a slave and then kept down in a cellar for years. That sounds like a valley to me. Like, what? Like, that would be terrible. Here I am feeling like I'm in a valley because I'm in a bad mood and I'm PMSing. Like, I totally wouldn't be able to do the work, but here I am praying like, Lord, send me into the danger. I will be a voice for you. Use me, Lord. I am available. Take me. You know, and then I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm not in a good mood today. I don't feel like it. So, you know, the valley, I just cannot even wait for this book to be released, because I created the book only because God told me to do it. And God wrote everything down through me, typed everything down through me. I spent almost the whole book while I was writing, praying and writing what was coming to my mind. But now when someone's in the valley, I can hand them a book and say, here, read this. It will be available on Audible shortly after the hardcover and paper copy are released on October 6th. And you'll be able to get it. It'll be read by me. So if you're like, I don't like to read, Taryn, I get too tired, then you can listen to me read it to you. And I would love to do that. But here's a few ways that you can help. Okay, the first way that you can help is by pre-purchasing the book on Amazon and writing a review the day it is released on October 6th. You can't write a review unless you are a verified purchase from Amazon. So if you purchase the actual physical book and you pre-order it, it won't ship until October 6th. However, you will receive the digital download to begin reading immediately. So if you only purchase the Kindle version, then you will only receive the Kindle e-reader version. If you purchase the paperback or hardback, you'll receive the Kindle right away, and then you'll receive the physical copy of the book. It'll be shipped out on October 6th. So that is the best way that you can help me out and write a 5-star review for me. That is what's going to help me get to the number one best-selling spot, so more people can view the book, more people can get this in their hands, and they can recognize what the valley is, how they got there in the first place, and then how God can bring them out of the valley. The book is split into two parts. The first part is descending down into the valley.
The second part of the book talks about ascending out of the valley. And the very last chapter kind of wraps up everything with overall tips. And throughout the book, I give away a ton of free resources at TarynSarcone.com. Some new ones that will be created that you'll be able to see on there. And another way that you can help me is by sharing my book on social media, telling people that it's out there, rating this podcast so more people can find the podcast, which then in turn find the book, joining my launch team. And in my launch team, it's a Facebook group that it's a private group with all of us on the launch team. I'm going to do weekly prizes. It starts today, but it's not too late to get in. All you have to do is agree to purchase the paperback or hardcover book and write a review the day it releases and post on Facebook one time for me. If you agree to do that, then you can be in the group with me. And I do giveaways every single week. I'm going to be giving away some chosen and anointed apparel. I'm going to be giving away some of my favorite books and devotionals, free coaching calls, which I'm super excited about. Like coaching and clarity calls to kind of help you put your brand together and make all the pieces click and connect, and buying some gift cards to give away for coffee and so much more. So there are a lot of different ways that you can help, even just engaging on my posts about the book, like liking and commenting and sharing. All of that helps me so much, and it helps us to get the word out there. Praying for me is the number one best way you can help. Putting me on your prayer list for this book to be like a strong magnet and connect with the women who need it, and share the book with someone, purchase it and share it with someone who you think, you know, the valley is a lonely, dark place, but it's the place that is going to be the beginning of your brand new life. God has a purpose for you. He doesn't want you stuck down in the valley. He's constantly speaking to you. He's constantly answering you. He's waiting for you. You're distracted and you're busy and you don't think you're enough. So you don't listen and you don't apply it. But my job that I've been given from God is to motivate God's people. And that's what I want to do. I want to motivate God's people into action. You were created for a purpose. You were created on purpose for a reason at such a time as this. Your lineage, your family tree, your community, your circles, all of it was meant to be. You have a purpose in the lives of other people, and I will not allow the devil to hold you without permission, without authority down in the valley, because God has given us the power and the authority over all darkness to trample on it and to succeed. God wants you abundant, fulfilled, joyful. That's what we were created for. That's what he came here and died on the cross. Wasn't just so we can have life, but it's that we would have life eternally and that we would have it abundantly and we would be fulfilled and have the fruit of the Spirit. Imagine waking up every single day feeling so excited to wake up and get out of bed and put your feet on the ground and feeling joy and fulfillment so much that you just start crying spontaneously for no reason because you're so happy and you're so grateful. You know, God didn't bring you far to just bring you this far to say, okay, this is it. And you definitely weren't created to just pay bills, pay bills, pay bills, and then one day you die. You know, if you can't do it for you, do it for your kids. Do it for your future generations. Because if you're sick of being held in this bondage, especially if it's generational bondage of addiction or depression or anxiety or anger or fear or of poverty, if you feel like you were made for more than that, it's because you were. And maybe you are who your future generations have been waiting for. They need you. It's up to you. Nobody can force you to change but you. Nobody will come and force you to be saved. God came to save you, but he is a gentle, patient, loving God, and love doesn't force. So he sits there and waits. I'm waiting, my child. I'm here. Where are you? How come you don't talk to me? How come you don't sit and listen to me? How come you don't take me at my word? How come you don't believe me? How come you don't trust me? Come and sit. Be still. Slow down. Pray. Talk to me more and allow me to walk you through your day. These are all things I've been hearing all summer long. And it has been hard to slow down. It has been hard to just rely on God. But the more I try to do it, the more I pray, the more intentional I am, the more that I am, the more that I get through it. And I need to be the best version of myself because I have 4 kids that the devil is after big time. And he's after their kids. And he's after their kids and their kids. And I will not allow that to happen on my watch. And you shouldn't either, because it doesn't matter what people have said about you. Doesn't matter what you think about yourself. You are the daughter of the highest king. You are chosen and anointed to do huge things. It's time that you start believing that. Because it's been too long that you haven't. You're going to be hearing from me a lot more. If this podcast has left you feeling inspired, please write a review on the Wake Up with Taryn Sarcone podcast channel. That helps it reach more people. And you know where to find me if you want to talk. Thank you for waking up with me today and setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I pray that God leads you and guides you to your promised land, and your fear and your worry and your doubt all wash away. If you are stuck in the valley and you are feeling hopeless and helpless, please download my 5 Steps to Hope Valley Guide that will tell you step by step by step how to get out of the valley and to stay out of the valley. You can find that on the link on my Instagram, as well as tons of other free tools, prayers, printouts for your identity, and to get my favorite list of books, devotions for adults and for kids. Also learn my favorite accountability software that I use for my kids, and check out my favorite must-watch sermons if you're in the valley. Thank you. God bless.